This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Kristen was talking there a minute ago about states giving tax money back to people specifically. Sometimes, though, it's communities or cities that need money from state and federal governments to make things work right at the local level. And that is money that often just never comes. What happens when that happens is the subject of Michelle Wild Anderson's new book. She's a law professor at Stanford. The book is called The Fight to Save the Town, Reimagining Discarded America. And question number one that I had for her was, what exactly is discarded America?
As you know and have reported on this show, we have these giant metropolitan engines for our economy, the big coastal urban hubs. And outside of those hubs, with the exception of a few college towns or tourist destinations, so much of the broader territory of the country is really reaching for a foothold in the modern economy.
What are the signs? What are the things, as you set out to research this book, which we should say, as most books of this caliber do, has taken years, what were you looking for?
Part of what I went looking for was places that were up against these incredible challenges of concentrated poverty and government decline, but were different from each other, so that we could see what was really going on in this larger problem across the country.
One of them you spent a lot of time on in this book is Lawrence, Massachusetts. Tell me about Lawrence, would you?
Oh, I fell so in love with Lawrence, Massachusetts. It's a relatively small town, overwhelmingly Latino, but it has always served as this portal for new immigrants coming into the country and trying to make it in the northeastern economy.
And it's got a history. I mean, it's, you know, famous probably mostly as a mill town, but it's been active industrially for centuries now in this economy.
Yeah, it has an iconic American history. Actually, it was the home to the Bread and Roses strike of 1912, which got textile workers across New England a 15% raise. And one of the reasons I really came to focus on Lawrence now is that it's focused on that same kind of raise again for its people. So how would you get a 15% raise today in this economy? So they had to draw on this incredible history of interracial cooperation and partnerships to really address this living wage problem in a creative way.
So let's talk for a second about activity at the local level when towns and cities like Lawrence, for reasons that we'll get to in a second, realize they're kind of on their own.
Yeah, you mean on their own from federal and state governments?
Well, yes, that's the get to it later part. But that's the bottom line now, right? As that we have seen many times on this program and in other reporting I've done and in this book, that local governments realize they're on their own because federal and state money either isn't coming or isn't coming fast enough. And it's sort of a by the bootstraps kind of thing for these towns and cities.
Exactly. That's so well said. I mean, states and the federal government can help equalize funding across local governments. But basically, since the 80s, we've generally done less of that. And during COVID, local governments got extra funds briefly, but they needed those funds to make up for acute local losses. So the expression we sometimes use is every tub on their own bottom, which I don't really love.
I don't even know what that means.
But the idea is that local governments have to rely more and more on revenues that they take up from within their territories.
Taxes. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, taxes. But infamously, after the Ferguson protests, we, you know, really started to reveal and investigate the degree to which really low-income governments in so many cities were wringing money out of their poorest residents' pockets through fines and fees.
Right. Just to interrupt. This is Ferguson, Missouri, after Michael Brown and the discovery of the police department and others really, really imposing what are taxes, but in the form of fines on the less fortunate in that city.
Exactly. So in the civil justice system, in the criminal justice system, coming through police officers, coming through code enforcement, there are all kinds of ways that local governments can take money from their people, even outside of taxes and fees. Okay. I mean, sorry, even outside of taxes.
Right. So let's cut to the chase here for a second and get back to where we started, which is the subtitle of this book. I asked you about Discarded America, but you it's a three-word subtitle, and it's Reimagining Discarded America. How do we reimagine discarded America in a time when, as we know, the federal government has its own challenges, states have their challenges, and cities and towns are kind of left on their own?
So I'll just rewind for 2 seconds, Kai, and just say that the bottom line of this book is it's about places that are both poor and broke. They're broke in part because they're poor, and their people stay poor in part because their governments are broke. Mm. But I don't think we have enough time to just talk about problems like that anymore. And so you're right. The book is rooted in solutions, rebuilding super basic public services, treating the traumatic impacts of gun violence, increasing adult wages, and stabilizing families against eviction and foreclosure. I would describe it as a form of mutual aid at the city level, like kind of sitting around a table. You do this, you do this, you do that. Mm-hmm. And together we're going to move on these giant problems, sort of one project at a time.
It's a book called The Fight to Save the Town, Reimagining Discarded America by Michelle Wild Anderson. She's professor of law at Stanford. Professor Anderson, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.